from runasradio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 639, WSUS Maintenance with guest Adam Marshall. Recorded Wednesday, May 1st, 2019. Run As Radio is produced each week by Sound Thoughts, LLC. For more information, visit soundthoughtsllc.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell. Thanks for listening to Run As Radio. My guest today is Adam Marshall, who is a Microsoft Windows and Devices for IT MVP, who created the standard in WSUS Automated Maintenance. And he's an MCSE who specializes in security and is currently in an IT specialist role where Adam takes care of everything in IT from hardware, software, networking, firewalls, Active Directory Exchange, and even Dynamics, all the way down to the help desk level. And being a generalist, he's exposed to a wealth of systems, both on-premises and hosted in the cloud. Hey, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. And so what is this automated WSUS thing? What have you been up to?
So essentially, there is a lot of maintenance that needs to be done to WSUS.
Yep.
And what ends up happening is people don't know about it. People have lots of different problems. They research the problems on the internet and they come to some pages and they do some ad hoc troubleshooting, fix it and forget about it.
Right.
And what ends up happening is that symptom will reappear later on down the road.
Sure. Yeah.
What they need to do is they need to do some regular maintenance. And so I've been trolling for the past probably about 5 years or so, Spiceworks, TechNet, and other sources like Experts Exchange.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that there's a lot of things that are very unique into a single business. But what ends up happening is that keeps reoccurring for different companies, for mm-hmm. different WSUS installations, even the same installation. And essentially what happened was it started with my own. I had some problems and I was trying to figure out why. So I had a look. I went online, found the information, and came up with the fact that I'm running the same thing every single time this happens.
Hmm.
I said, there's got to be a better way. And so I started saying, well, Microsoft is pushing PowerShell. I don't know too much of PowerShell. Let's learn it. So I created WSUS Automated Maintenance. The first stages were just basic items,
mm-hmm.
The database maintenance that needs to happen on a reoccurring basis, Server Cleanup Wizard or the SCW, which should be happening on a regular basis. And then it branched out into, well, you know what? There's a lot of things happening with superseded updates. And I asked myself, why do I need the old ones? There really is no reason. If you've approved the new version of the update, the superseded update, all it's doing is wasting space because Windows is going to go to the latest version of the update.
Right.
So because of that, you can just blanket decline them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was an MVP who was advocating against declining them blanket. He has since passed away, and I wish I had the chance of meeting him. But what ends up happening is that he was saying that you should wait until you've approved the update, it's been installed on the systems, and then you can decline the superseded update.
Okay.
Realistically, it's just a timing. You're going to be declining it anyway, and your systems are not going to go to the superseded update anyway. So you may as well just blanket decline.
Yeah. I mean, I would wonder why you need to decline it at all. If you just install the last part of the roll-up, all the early pieces should just disappear because they're effectively already installed.
That's right. Because the superseded update contains every single piece of data that was in the superseded update.
Right.
And the superseding update would contain any little additions or subtractions to patch that original update.
Sure.
So yeah, you could just blanket decline everything. So that's how the software started. I worked on it for about 3.5-4 years and rebranded it last year to WSOS Automated Maintenance and turned it into a commercial product.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Not a simple thing to do, but I appreciate that, you know, that WSOS does need some care and feeding. It doesn't just work automatically every day.
No, it doesn't. And so basically the software does a first run. It does a pretty good clean out of the system. We keep track of the records, and our current record holder is about 1.2 terabytes of data.
Oh my goodness.
on a business class system server. And once you've got that data removed, it speeds up WSUS so much. Probably about 1,000 to 1,500 times with custom indexing. It also removes all of the bulk of the drivers that if you're using drivers, the moment you put a checkmark in that box, you get about 50 to 60,000 drivers.
Whether you need them or not.
And whether you need them or not. Now,
interesting.
They're not downloaded to the system.
Yeah.
But they are downloaded in metadata into the database, which increases the size of your database. It creates a larger set for client systems to actually go and search for. So it slows down client systems. I've had some customers say that after they've installed WSOS Automated Maintenance, or like I like to say WAM, right, because you can just WAM your server. And so what ends up happening is they've come back and they've said, holy cow, the reports for my computers, all my reporting is super fast. Something that used to take 5 minutes to generate now takes like 20 seconds.
Nice.
And something like checking for updates manually on a computer used to take 2 to 5 minutes. Now it's like 20 seconds.
Now, how much of this maintenance could I have just done by hand? I mean, not that I want to, and I have no problem giving you a little money to make it easier for me, but this is manually doable stuff, just a waste of time.
It is absolutely manual. All of the stuff that I've got is all manually found. Mm-hmm. You have to go through all the different threads. You have to find what are the differences and what are the problems that people are having.
Right.
And then gather the little snippets of little bits of code here and there. Some are, like, for example, one of the biggest ones is a snippet of code to remove all of the synchronization history between your WSOS server and Microsoft.
Right.
Every time you synchronize, there's four pieces of information that gets added to the database. Mm-hmm. And if you synchronize once a day, that's quite a lot in a full year.
Sure.
It takes up space in the database, and that's usually where problems happen with when you have a WSUS server running on a SQL Express installation. SQL Express has a hard limit of 10 gigs.
Right.
For 2008 onward.
Which ought to be plenty.
But when you add all of these 60,000 plus drivers, you add the synchronization history, you add all of the updates for all of the different systems and products, all the different classifications, you end up starting to get to like 6, 8, 10 gig systems. And
so you're getting close to the limit.
Really close to the limit, which is one of the reasons why I highly recommend against using Express, unless you need the remote abilities. Express and the Windows internal database, or WID, they are essentially the same product, except one is built into the operating system and does not contain a hard limit on the database size. However, the downside to that is that you can only access it locally.
Oh.
You cannot access it from a remote system. So if you have a third-party reporting software, you would need to install it on either a full-blown version of SQL, which costs money, or a SQL Express instance, which is free.
Right, right. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I could see these logs being useful if you're making a PSS call about a problem with WSUS. But I got to think after a month, they're worthless.
That's pretty much it. My software has a two-week removal period.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I synchronize 4 times a day. I know a lot of customers that synchronize more than that because they use Windows Defender and they get the updates through WSUS. So you're synchronizing once an hour.
Right, because you're hoping for that 0-day grab, right?
Yep, exactly. So even with the 2 weeks of data, that's still quite a lot. That's over 360 over 360 records in the database.
Sure.
For a 2 week period.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's still quite a lot.
Yeah, and it adds up. So it's kind of useful to be able to clean that up, especially because it is worthless data. Once those updates are successful, you're not worried about it anymore. It's not a big deal.
It's not only that. I mean, from the synchronization side of things, it's basically telling you what's been downloaded, how many items, and also what's been expired and so forth. That data is good if you're looking for a specific date in the recent that where the heck did all these updates go?
Sure.
Well, now you can go look and quickly see, are they expired by Microsoft? But from this list, you're only getting a number. You're not getting what they are,
right.
Which ones. That's where the emails come in from WSUS. When you have WSUS set up correctly with emails, it emails you every time it finishes synchronizing. If it's pulled in data, if it's pulled in expired items, that kind of stuff, or pushed out expired items, and it tells you in the email what has been downloaded, the KB numbers, a small little blurb about the update, the title, that kind of thing.
Adam, especially when we're talking about smaller organizations, aren't we getting pressure from Microsoft to just allow them to update everything directly and just don't bother with something like WSUS?
Well, Microsoft's stance has, in the recent, been the cloud. And so
right.
There is a big push to do Windows Update for Business. In a small organization with 10, 15, 20 clients, no IT person, Windows Update for Business makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
From a point of view of the business owner, you've got Microsoft doing their best to give you the Windows updates that are critical to your systems. You have some control over when you can actually push them out, so long as you're using Windows Pro, which
right.
All businesses should be at least using.
Yeah.
So with Pro, you have the ability of the Windows Update for Business side of things, which allows you policies. I don't want to get an update for 7 days. I don't want to get a feature update for 30 days, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
You can delay those with Windows Update for Business. For small organizations that have more and who have more computers and maybe one or two IT people, WSUS is still a prevalent item because, number one, it's free.
Yep.
But I say free in a very
free-ish
tone because you have still the maintenance that you need to do.
Right.
And the maintenance from a personnel point of view is time.
Yeah, yeah. So
time is money. And so it's not.
And labor is labor, right?
Yeah, it's not entirely free. The free option is really Windows Update for Business. But Windows Update for Business is a really big, different mindset. You must trust Microsoft explicitly.
And they've not had a good, 18 months when it comes to Windows Update.
Not in the recent, no. but they have done their best to the best that they have at the moment is what I will say.
Okay.
I
appreciate your optimism. I'm feeling more cynical than that, but
obviously with their recent 1809 blunder with the deleting files,
which goes back to October, right? I mean, it's been a while. They're still cleaning this up.
Yep. And then last year with the
Spectre and
Spectre and yes, exactly. There were problems with those systems with the updates for that because they're trying to scrounge and patch hardware issues and trying to do microcode to mitigate the security issues. And
I don't blame that on Windows at all. Right, this was an issue introduced by the processor. They needed to fix it. It's an unfortunate reality, and it certainly had a performance impact. I'm more upset about things like when they broke .NET and when they broke Surfaces, and certainly everything happened with 1809 where they literally had to pull the patch and restart it. Like it's just been a tough run.
It has. And even Hyper-V 2019, which is the latest version of Hyper-V, still has yet to be posted on their evaluation section
Wow.
for business use or for any use. You can buy the Office, or sorry, you could buy the Server 2019 version and then install the Hyper-V role and all the updates for that, and you'll be okay. But they don't have the full Hyper-V role evaluation slash free version that you could be using. It's crazy.
Well, yeah, and I'm just looking around on my own machines and going, oh, well, the laptop's at 1809, but my big desktop's still at 1803. No wonder it's working so well. And I think 1903 now is in the insider's loop. So, you know, the new versions are still coming.
I am not in the insider's side, so I don't know.
Which is interesting, because you make a product for Windows, so you'd think you'd want to be on the inside.
Well, that's the thing. Yes, I do make a product for Windows, and yes, I do need sometimes the inside look, but a lot of the stuff around WSUS doesn't change too much over time. And so what ends up happening is with, like, for example, the 2019 server, I ran my software testing it, doing normal testing, and it really hasn't changed too much from the 2016 version of WSUS. There are probably some back-end changes that Microsoft has made, but from my software's point of view, it's business as usual.
That makes sense. And Adam, I'm going to interrupt you for one moment for this very important message. This episode of Run As is brought to you by SQL Intersection. 8 full-day workshops and over 40 technology-focused sessions make SQL Intersection a unique source of the best information around SQL Server from real-world consultants and members of the SQL Server team. You'll learn proven problem-solving techniques and technologies you can implement immediately, as well as learn about the future of SQL Server. Get answers to performance monitoring, troubleshooting, designing for scale and performance, cloud, as well as new features in the latest version of SQL Server 2019. It's time to determine your migration strategy, and SQL Intersection is the place to figure out the best way to do it. Come to SQL Intersection at the Swan Hotel in Orlando, June 10th to 13th. Use code RUNAS to get your discount on your registration at SQLIntersection.com, and we'll see you there. And we're back. It's Richard Campbell, Run As Radio, and I'm talking to Adam Marshall about Windows Update and WSUS. And should we mention Intune? Because I think that's the product that Microsoft's mostly pushing these days, if you're prepared to pay for it.
Yep, Intune would be a good substitute to GPOs and doing the modern workspace. I don't have much information on Intune. I've never been in that area professionally.
Yep.
So I don't have much of a comment on that, but I do know that they are pushing it. And I do know with Windows Update for Business, you can use Intune and Windows Analytics to confirm and get insight into how your systems are.
Right.
Windows Analytics being the free side, there are three programs. Upgrade Readiness. Then there's another one that is Device Health.
Right.
And Update Compliance.
Right.
Device Health is the only one that needs E3 or above. The other two are free, and I mean completely free. They don't charge you at all. They do need a credit card to set up the account for purposes of theft and fraud. Other than that, they will not charge your account.
It's interesting.
Essentially, what you do is you sign up for the Windows Analytics side of things. You create a GUID. You stick that GUID in a specific registry key through group policy, through Intune, through whatever method you'd like. And all of the data that your machines are pushing through will go obviously to Microsoft, but then get siphoned off into your Azure tenant, and you can now see the information that they are pushing, the updates, the compliance, the specifically the programs that are on the system that Microsoft has, because Microsoft sees a whole bunch of different programs. When you're doing the upgrade readiness, it actually goes through and checks to see, have other people used this program before on the newest version?
Right.
And they're doing the testing. It's the automated way of testing on a blanket scale of millions and millions of machines.
Yeah, if you need to go that far. I mean, that's obviously the advantage of the cloud is that they see all these machines, so they're generally catching on with problems earlier than most, certainly earlier than you can individually.
Well, that's part of the testing everything before upgrading issues.
Right.
You don't need to test. Okay, so there's a lot of people who use 7-Zip out in the world. There's a lot of people that use Winamp in the world. Well, specific versions of Winamp, specific versions of 7 are always installed on multiple systems worldwide. The Windows Analytics side of things gets all that data from the systems from Windows 7 onward or Windows 8 onward, I can't remember.
Right.
And essentially, you are testing that version, that software with this, and everything is working fine. It's not crashing all the time. So it is safe to use on that version that you're testing. So for example, the Windows Insiders are using 7-Zip. They're using Office 365. They're using Office 2013. They're using Office 2010. They're using different products of like different versions of Java, different versions of Adobe. Mm-hmm. All of that is being utilized in the Insider program. When first upgraders upgrade, all of that data is being diverted into the cloud, randomized, of course, anonymized, of course. And Microsoft is analyzing that using their AI and finding out, are these systems having problems with these specific applications? And upgrade readiness goes through and checks to see, are they having the problems with the software that's on your system?
Right.
And so realistically, from a standpoint of testing everything before upgrading, other people are doing the testing. All you have to do is look. If you've got everything working, but you've got some homegrown apps, well, then you definitely need to test those before upgrading. So that's where the different rings when you're upgrading come into play.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a true test environment, you can easily just do your homegrown testing in there. But if you don't, and even if you do, you should do some rollout schedules in different rings.
Sure.
One being maybe like one or two test users from every department. Let that go for 2 weeks or so. If any problems happen, then you can deal with it at that moment in time. Mm-hmm. The next ring would probably be something like one third or half of the entire population of systems that you control. If everything is working fine, the next is the rest of them.
Right.
And you do it in a staggered motion, and it's just like what's happening with Microsoft right now with their different rings. They're doing, like for example, like you said, your desktop is on 1803 still. Mm-hmm. And so your desktop has a stop in place because there is either something wrong with a piece of hardware with compatibility-wise, a piece of software compatibility-wise, and Microsoft is halting you at that moment because they don't want to give you a bad experience.
Right. Yeah, I wonder why this machine hasn't been updated yet, but, you know, it's all kinds of possibilities, but I hadn't really dug too much into it. It's interesting that if they decided that it wasn't sure about the version, it wouldn't just say something to you and go, you know, maybe you should be getting this or you deal with this particular issue. Certainly, I appreciate, and I've seen a lot more of it, complaining that there's driver problems, you know, that it's like, listen, this driver's trouble.
And usually in those cases, the answer is to update the driver.
Right.
So that's one of the things that Microsoft used their own software for. Mm-hmm. Microsoft IT published an article explaining how they used upgrade readiness, update compliance, and device health to actually check and fix issues within the Microsoft network.
Right.
And they found that someone was using an older driver for a video card, and that computer was blue screening daily.
Sure.
And it wasn't just on one or two computers. It was on over 1,000 computers. And what ended up happening is they used their software. They used the information from the cloud and the AI side to diagnose, and they did an update for the driver, and boom, everything worked again. And no more problems for those users.
Yeah, I always appreciate when that happens.
That is the power of how Microsoft sees a whole bunch of things from all different angles because of all the millions of systems worldwide that use Windows.
Yeah.
And frankly, I did not understand how this happened until I became an MVP last year.
Right. And you started to get inside into what the sheer volume of data they have available to them.
Yeah, it is unreal, and it's unimaginable sometimes when you're looking at it from maybe a business with 20,000 systems, maybe sure. a business with 5 systems, whatever. You're not seeing the amount of information that goes on. But every piece of Windows is giving feedback on a daily basis to their cloud system, anonymized, and they're looking at it from the point of view of how do we improve Windows? How do we get that experience level to be what we want the customer to have?
And still, I feel like a given organization needs to take any of these major updates and install it on a test machine and sort of run through the gamut of key software and make sure everything's still working.
Yes, but at the same time, if you are testing by way of one or two users in every department, you're getting a good sense of,
sure.
is this going to work in my environment?
Well, and the real question is, can I get back if it doesn't?
Well, Windows does allow a 10-day return policy.
So you can
you upgrade to the latest version, you don't like it, or it doesn't. It has a problem on those machines. You can actually revert back within 10 days to the previous version of Windows.
And why is it 10 days? Does it actually delete files after that?
It does go through through its maintenance routines and does delete the files from the previous version to save space.
Can you adjust that number? Could you make it longer?
I don't think you can.
Interesting.
It's 10 days because Microsoft is wanting... Microsoft thinks that in 10 days, you're going to know whether the system is working properly or not.
As long as it's 10 days of use, as opposed to, oh, the guy went on vacation for 2 weeks.
I don't have an answer for that because I don't know myself.
Yeah, no, but it's really, you know, it's one of those interesting questions, right? Like, if somebody's actually been working on a machine for 10 days and they have no complaints, then you rolling it back is actually going to make them angrier than leaving it where it is. But as long as it's been in use for those days, I'm good with that. It just doesn't always work out that way. Hey, look what I did. Now 1809 is on its way down on this desktop machine. So
did you hit check for updates?
I did. I blame myself.
And that's the exact reason why you got it.
Yeah.
So the way the Cadence system works with Microsoft, from what I've read and what I've learned, is that if the system has been tested by Microsoft, it will be rolled out in the first wave. If at any point in time you go check for updates manually, you will get the same thing unless there is a block on your system.
Right.
So by you just checking for updates, you've said, I want to go look for the latest version.
Yeah. And so there you go. Now I've got it coming.
Yeah. It's the same thing with...
I'll make sure it doesn't install till after we're finished recording. How's that?
Yeah. It's the same thing as if you go to check for updates mm-hmm. in the middle of a month after Patch Tuesday's updates have been installed. If there's any C and D round updates, you will get them. C and D being the third and fourth week of the month
yep.
where Microsoft releases new versions of their updates they used to call them preview. My software blanket declines preview because
right.
preview has a bad connotation.
Yeah.
I learned...
You're being a guinea pig. That's what it means.
Essentially, yes. And I learned that is actually not what they meant. And that they meant that these are 100% business-ready updates that are going to be released in the next version of the cumulative update. But if you need it now because it solves an issue, you can take it now.
Right.
But either way, you're going to get it in the cumulative update next month.
Yes, absolutely. I was thinking back to that 2 week or the 10-day rule and thinking, well, as long as we took an image of the machine before we did the update, we can always revert the machine back with that image.
You could.
Yeah. I don't know how you feel about imaging these days, you know? I'm old enough to remember back in the days where we imaged everything.
Well, that's the side of the golden image versus Windows as a service side of things.
Mm-hmm.
The full best way that Microsoft wants you to take the experience is Windows as a service. You upgrade, it does an in-place upgrade, and the upgrade actually does now, and it didn't used to, but now it does a replace of the Windows folder. It does a replace of the program files folders. It then pulls in your data, your registry settings, and everything. And the experience that Microsoft has done since the Windows 95 days to the Windows 10 days is phenomenal. They now have the ability of even like resetting this PC, something that a non-IT person can easily do. They can easily go reset their machine to factory defaults, which keeps drivers, but reinstalls everything else. Wipes out everything, keeps your files if you'd like, but it's a basic reinstall of Windows without reinstalling Windows fully.
Right.
It's a really nice, interesting way they've done it. It's servicing, and the update cadence or the update methods that you can use for that, Windows Update, Windows Update for Business, WSUS, they roll with the proper updating as a service. And so you get the best experience with the update side of things. When I roll out Windows Update feature updates to the systems that I manage, I just literally approve the update, walk away, and the next day the machines are on with the newest version of the update.
Right.
It's very simple, very easy. Yes, there is the issue of, well, should I take an image of the machine beforehand? But if you're doing your testing, you won't need to because you can always revert back within that 10-day period.
Right.
If you do miss that 10-day period, though, the unfortunate side is that you must reinstall.
Yeah.
To go back.
But I'm hoping you're not storing files. You know, in business machines, I don't expect them to store any files on those machines anyway. That all that stuff is in OneDrive for Business or any other, you know, number of file management tools. So replacing that machine is not that big a deal. It's just a question of getting the configuration right.
And that's where Microsoft is pushing Intune. And Intune would allow you to get that system up and running. Autopilot is a very similar system replacement from the modern desktop era.
Right.
I don't have any experience with Autopilot, but I have seen many talks from Michael Niehaus, and the amount of information and the amount of easeability for logging into a system, being able to ship it from an authorized reseller like Dell or HP or IBM or wherever,
right,
and just sending it direct to a customer and having that customer. The end user. The end user getting it, signing it into their email address, and automatically just having everything populate through Windows Intune and Autopilot. It's a phenomenal feature. I don't have the ability of getting the experience on it because I don't work for a company that has the E5 or E3 level and the Autopilot licensing and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But I've seen the talks that they have. I've seen the demos. It is phenomenal. I love it.
Yeah, you just got to be able to get it.
It is a great way to do something on a mass scale.
Right.
But it requires Intune. It requires a whole bunch of things. And that's where Microsoft wants you to go.
Well, Adam, a half hour's flown by. Any last words? Where can people learn more about you? Where are you going to be next? Etc.
Well, I am always trolling Spiceworks, Spiceworks and TechNet. Mm-hmm. On Spiceworks, I'm Adam, bracket AJ Tech. And on TechNet, I'm ajtech.ca. You can always get a hold of me on my website, ajtech.ca. And yeah.
All right.
I don't do any public speaking at the moment. This is the first time I've done anything like this. So I've stayed in the forum realm because I can be multitasking. There's a lot of times where I'm out and about with my family and I'm checking up on Spiceworks, I'm checking up on TechNet and so forth while my family is doing their thing, like driving or whatnot.
Awesome. Well, Adam, thanks so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate your insights.
Thank you very much.
And we'll talk to you next time on Run As Radio.